He started here. All right. Our course is Praying Like Paul, and we're continuing in this. We're in lesson 31, and we're looking at the prayer of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Specifically today, we're talking about verse 12. My lesson today is that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified. And so this is, in a sense, this is the summation of Paul's prayer. Let's read this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. To this end, we always pray for you. Specifically, Paul said, I'm praying for you. You know, not just praying this. He wants us to know that he prays for us. And, of course, the word pray is in a present tense. He continues to do this. He doesn't just do this once. He prays this over and over. As the Spirit of God brings these things to him, he's always praying. What a glorious thing. You know, just Paul's life of praying. But here's his prayer. That our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve, or we said yesterday, pursuit last week, every pursuit for good and for every work of faith by his power. Verse 12, so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So in all of Paul's prayers, in some way, the in summation of all of his prayers is that the Lord may be glorified. And that's what Paul's intent is. Of course, he wants to see the Lord glorified through his teaching, through the ministry that he gives to people, that the Lord is glorified in all these things. But specifically, in all of his prayers, somewhere this subject of the Lord being glorified is included. So when Paul prays for people, it's not just that they receive the answer, but in receiving that answer, the Lord is glorified. And he's only glorified when it is proclaimed. God is glorified in all the earth, and we know that. And he's glorified in us because of our receiving of the new birth. But does the world hear that? And the idea of being glorified is something that is known, something that is proclaimed, something that is understood by other people. I don't want people to think, you know, that I'm just having a good life. I want them to know that whatever good life I'm having is because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of my God. And so that is our part of our witness. And I know in this culture today, that's really not popular. You could go, you look in Canada, you can look at in Great Britain, some other parts of the world, but it's strange to see it in these, which are considered, quote, Christian nations, though that's somewhat in question about the United Kingdom, but that just speaking in his name or praying publicly or mentioning his name publicly can cause you to be arrested. In parts of Canada, they are stopping people from preaching the scriptures because what you're preaching is offensive to the culture. Now, there's a lot of things you could preach on, but if it's anything that offends the culture, that proclaims sin or that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, those things, they can stop, and they have stopped. And so This is the day we live in. But God is not glorified in our hidden faith. He's glorified in our observable faith. People need to know. There was a great period of time in church history when monasticism was known. The people would go away into their monasteries and live their life secluded from all of society, shutting themselves off from all of society. And we think, well, that sounds great. You know, go to a compound, you know, and live in some place where there's only believers and there's only Christians, and we're secure from all of the world. That is not what Jesus left us here for. In heaven, we'll be surrounded only by believers. But that's not the way it's supposed to be in this world. You can't be a witness to this world if you're locked in a compound. There's stories of these great prophets or whatever they called themselves, and they would go to the top of towers in the desert and live on these pinnacles where they were absolutely isolated from everyone else, and all they had to do was give themselves to prayer and to worship day in, day out, with no contact with society. How does that work? And it's, in a sense, it's no wonder, I'm not saying they didn't get some things from God, but it's no wonder that the world was in such a mess, and they called it the Dark Ages, because there was no proclamation. So for the Lord to be glorified, for these things that Paul's prayed for them, that he might make you worthy of his calling, that is not... It's not God maybe will make you worthy. It's that you will allow him to make you worthy. And also that you allow him to be fulfilled in all of your pursuit. Now, there is a fulfilling. We talked about that, that you received when you got born again. So there is a fulfilling that is past tense. We have been fulfilled. But there's also a fulfilling that we need to do as we proclaim his name, that we are pursuing what is good, and the world needs to know that. What is good? The world surely doesn't know. They had no clue. But we can help them see what is good because our attention is given to the Word of God and to listening to the Spirit and the direction of the Father in what he wants us to do. The world needs to know what is good, and they need to see our works of faith. And so that God will fulfill our works of faith, that it's not just me. I don't want people to say, well, you know, Jeff's such a good guy, and look at all the good things he does and all those kind of things. I don't want the world to see it in me. We're going to talk about that today. I want them to see Jesus. It's about what Jesus is doing. And so that's why we need this witness. Which, again, by the way, it's not in my notes. The word witness is what? Some of you know. What is the word witness? Martyr. Oh, they don't like that word. Man, we don't like that word. But the word for witness is martyrion, to be martyred. Now, we think martyred means you have to die, but that's not what it is. To be martyred means that you will tell his name, proclaim what you have seen or heard, even under the threat of death. That's what it means. So anything up to death, pressure, insult, people, you know, ignoring you, people shutting you off, people marginalizing you, then that's our culture. All of that, we have to be willing to testify, to witness, to martyrion, even under the threat of jail, arrest, any of those things. Which, thank God, we're not fully to that yet, but there is a lot. There are some people who would like to see Christians locked up. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Okay, let me move on. I've gotten nowhere. But in all Paul's prayers, this idea of God being glorified is there. That God might make them worthy of his calling, so the Lord might be glorified. That God may fulfill all of our pursuit of goodness and the works of faith, that God might be glorified. And so those are the things that the Lord wants to do. So now let's look at this a little bit more. He says, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. The name of our Lord Jesus. What do we mean when we talk about the name? In biblical time, both Old and New Testament, the idea of the name represented the person. So if you used a person's name, you were literally invoking their person. If I, you know, they would come in the name of the king, it was like this person is representing the king. To insult him is to insult the king. All right, and so they would have a war and they would send out a representative of the king. So when David went out to fight, he went in the name of the Lord, but he was also in the name of Saul. He was, in a sense, representing the king of Israel. And so he went forth into battle. And so the one who would go would be the representative. Sometimes they called him the champion. And so he would be the one sent out. But he was there, not in his own name, but in the name of the Lord. So David said, you haven't come against me. You've not come against Israel. You've come against the Lord God of Israel. And so David was saying, it's not just me. It's the name of the Lord. I am representing him. And so that pulls through even to the New Testament time, that the name of the Lord represents his person, his character. So if you're in the name of a person, you need to represent his character, not yours. His conduct, you would be doing what he would be doing if he was there. His reputation, so that whatever you're doing in the name of the Lord doesn't insult him, doesn't cause any kind of insult or rebuke to his name. Down through history, read the history of the church, the history of some places, what they did in, quote, the name of God, the name of Christ, the name of the church was horrible. There was some reason for the great times of invading different nations and all those types of things. But many times what they ended up doing was profaning the name of the God that they were trying to represent. And the evil that they produced, because it was all ego. And so these were great, great times of trial. The Crusades were horrible. And in some places they killed more Christians than they killed Muslims. And massive numbers of Jews. So that's not God. It was never God. God didn't establish the church to persecute. He established us to witness. So I'll move on from that. But it's his presence. So when we talk about the name, we're talking about his person. The name is not just a word. We think, you know, well, in the name of Jesus, it's in that word. No, it's not in that word. Because there's people whose names are Jesus. They were in Jesus' time. And sometimes they translated them, they retranslated them as Jesse or Joshua or something like that. But actually, their name was Jesus. And I was sharing this morning, we were talking about this. When I was at Rhema, my first year at Rhema, there was a student who ran a donut shop down at the corner of Kenosha and Elm. And he was the manager. He came from California, young Hispanic man. He was one of our students, and he would bring us donuts to the staff sometimes because he was the manager. And his name was Jesus. And so we could say, Jesus brought us donuts today. Because he really did. But not that Jesus. All right? I'm not saying that Jesus couldn't bring you some donuts. I'd like that. But anyway. But so it's not just the word, Jesus. It's what he represents. It's his person. The name represents the person. And so what the Lord wanted us to do when we use in the name of something, when we attach in the name at the end of our prayer, it's I'm saying what he would say if he was here. Wow. That's tough. Yeah. Have I so framed my prayer so that it's what Jesus would say if he was here. I'm not just praying what I want. I'm praying what he would want if he was here. Think of the weight of that. Think of the power of that. That's why when we pray in his name, he will do it. Because we're saying what he would say if he was here. Many times, we're not really praying his name. We're praying in our name, what we would want, what we would like, what we desire. And I'll pass over that because I don't want to make people uncomfortable. So, in the name. And then we talk about the name that is higher, the name to which every knee would bow. It's not just a word. It's the person. It's not the name that they bow to. It's the person that the name represents. Jesus is the one to whom all the world will bow. He's the one that died on the cross. That's why in his name, every knee will bow, because he has conquered everything from the lowest hell to the highest of heavens.
Amen.
And they will all bow, whether in heaven, on the earth, or I love this part, and under the earth. Man, there's nothing that isn't covered. So everything will bow to the name, not to the person. Jesus, the person. Not just a remembrance of a word. His disciples went out, they used the name. Because they were doing what he would do if he was there. Jesus said, I'm going to send you 70, and I'm going to scatter you throughout. And every place you go, I don't want to make this wrong, but it's like you're a little Jesus. You're out there doing what I would do, but I can't go all these different places. Can you imagine that? How that was? Well, it's even better today. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, there was just one. On the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000. And then another 5, another 10. Pretty soon there were 1 million Christians in the Roman Empire, then maybe 2 million, and it just kept growing. If they were all taking seriously that what they did was in the name of Jesus. We have many that did. I mean, we know the ones that are mentioned in the New Testament, but think of the millions of others who were witnessing to his good. Many of those that died in the arena or died under persecution. During the time of the Roman Empire, all the way up until the 600s, if evil came upon a village, they blamed the Christians, because the Christians weren't representing their pagan gods. You offended our pagan god, that's why we were being defeated. That's why there's a plague. That's why we've had an earthquake. So kill the Christians, because they are not worshiping our pagan gods and they have brought this evil upon us. It all came against the believers, but they weren't coming against men, women. They were coming against the Lord. And you know what? Those nations, the Roman Empire, is gone. Christianity still lives. And they did everything they could to destroy it, but they couldn't. No pagan army, no empire can hold out the church. Jesus said, my gates, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against the church. The Greek word prevail means to hold out, not advance. It doesn't mean that the gates of hell are attacking. It means that the gates of the enemy can't hold the church out. There is no place. You put up an iron curtain, the church can go through it. The bamboo curtain around China, the church can go through it. Whatever curtain you want to raise up today, the Lord is able to go through. But he goes through in us. We're doing it in the name of the Lord. So, top of your next page. Not only that it is the name, but in this name, he would be glorified. So that, Paul says, so that, in other words, this is the conclusion, all those things that came before in verse 11, are so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified. So the lifestyle, the expressions of faith, the way that the believers lived and ministered, the walk that they had, the works of faith that they did, the pursuit of goodness, all of that was so that the name of the Lord might be glorified. So the person of Jesus Christ would be known, not the people. How many millions of believers have there been? We don't know their name. We know the name of the 12, but we don't know what about 7 or 8 of them did. We only know what 3 or 4 of them did. What they did is unknown, but the results are known. By the end of the 400s, 600s, the entire Roman Empire had come to know the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They come to know the church. They called it then the Holy Roman Empire. Okay, not so much. But it was still, his name was known. His name was proclaimed. And so this goes on. We don't know their names because their names aren't important. There's a lot of the world that's not going to remember your name. Sorry. You know, no matter how much you posted on your social media, no matter how many, you know, selfies you take of yourself, videos, pictures, post them out there. It's been a long time since I've been to the gym. No expression there. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. Don't laugh. Anyway, but the last time I was at the gym, I saw people with their phones recording them doing their workouts, recording how they looked. You know, they put on their gym outfit, you know, outfits. You know, it's like, here's what I look like, and posting that all over. I don't care. Our world is so caught up with what I call me-ism that we can't get past things. I don't want the world to remember my name. I want the world to remember the name of who I proclaimed. That's what's important. Don't get discouraged by that, but there's millions of people who don't know who you are. And it doesn't matter. Sorry. We'll pray for you at the end. But that's not what's important. What's important that his name is glorified. That his is the name that's proclaimed. In our walk, our desires, in our work, it's Jesus that needs to be glorified. So if I do something, I want people to know that it's in the name of the Lord. If I'm giving somebody, you know, I many times I will tip. I way over tip. That's just me. But sometimes I feel like I need to really over tip. But if I do, I want them to know that the Lord impressed upon me to give this to you. That this is a gift from the Lord. It's not me. And that's really many times not understandable by the person that's receiving it. What do you mean? What do you mean that the Lord told you to give this to me? That the Lord told you to pray for me? The Lord told me to bless you. I want them to know that. And it's not about me, so that it's about him. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 12. This is just one passage. There's many I could pull out, but I liked this one. Acts chapter 3, verse 12. It says, "And when Peter saw it," that is the rejoicing that took place because the man at the Gate Beautiful was healed. So Acts chapter 3 is the healing of the man at the Gate Beautiful. And when the people saw him leaping and dancing and rejoicing in the Lord, when they saw that, they knew who he was. They'd walk past him every day. But this time, something was different. He got healed, supernaturally healed. And so when the people saw it, they began rejoicing. And, you know, certainly they're going, "Peter, look at what Peter did. Look at what Peter, this, said. John and Peter, and we have no recording of what John said, because Peter wanted to make sure that everybody knew what he said, but no. But Peter said, when he saw it, he addressed the people, he said, wait a minute, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us, listen to these words, as though by our own power or piety we have made this man walk? The word piety is the Greek word for godliness. In other words, because our closeness to God, do you think this man is healed because we're so godly? Because we have a halo around our head? You know, we got the right clothes on. We're saying the right word. We're walking the right way. It's not about us. Peter said, don't look at us. All we're doing is passing on what Jesus has given to us. We're a channel. You have to be careful using that word, you know, for a period of time. That was New Age talk. But we're a way for God to get it to people. It's His goodness, His grace, His power. It's not me. Don't look at me. And I know this, Jeff, you're just walking into things here. Just okay, we'll go ahead and say it. So many times, it is the minister that gets glorified. So-and-so healed me. I went to so-and-so's meeting and got healed. And it's about the person, the man, the woman who's up there, who's praying, ministering. I need to get to so-and-so because they have the power to heal. No, they don't. They don't have the power to heal. Jesus does. And my prayer for you is just as powerful as any world-known evangelist. I don't have to back up and say, well, I need to get you to so-and-so. No, I need to get you to God. Amen. And that's my job, to connect you to God. I don't have to have a special anointing upon me to pray for the sick. I've been anointed to pray for the sick. So have you. Why? Because you got the Holy Spirit in you and the name of Jesus on your lips, or at least in your mouth. You need to speak it. Again, my testimonies, I shared some of that last week. You know, when I was in Peru, down in the Amazon, I should know some Spanish. I really should. But I don't. It just isn't there. I've been to China 18 times. I know maybe 5 words. I'm not prone to languages. You'd say, well, that's just a block in your mind, just like I'm not prone to math. But I know the name of Jesus, and so do they. So do they. No matter what language I'm speaking, they know there's a name for Jesus that they're used to hearing. And they know what I'm talking about. And so I just say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. They know. Why? Because it's not me. I don't want people to think I'm healing them. I really don't. I'm not saving people. How many people did you get saved? None. I didn't get anybody saved. Jesus did. So what does he say? Skip on down to verse 16. He puts a lot of stuff in between. Peter is just as much getting off track as I am. So he goes off into a bunch of stuff, which is great stuff, by the way. But verse 16. And he says, so it's not by our power or our godliness that we made this man walk. His name. By faith in his name. Not our name. It's not Peter. It's not John. Though that's the report that comes through Luke's words here in Acts. But it's his name. And by faith in his name. They proclaimed his name and the man believed. But so also did they. So the by faith in his name is kind of, it's two-sided. It's their faith in his name to speak it. And it's the man's faith in the name when he heard it. It's so, but if you don't proclaim the name, you're not showing your faith, and the person doesn't have anything to hold on to. No anchor for them to grab. It's his name. By faith in his name has made this man strong, whole, whom you see now. And the faith that is through Jesus. His name, Jesus. It's not the word. It's the person. His name, Jesus. Has given the man his perfect health in the presence of you all. So there's the Lord be glorified in us. And there's just a little turn of that that Paul makes here. And that you be glorified in him. So it's kind of a fine line between he's glorified in us and we're glorified in him. But that's that wonderful miracle. He's in us, but we're in him. How's that work? I don't know. I can't make a diagram of that. I'm in him. Here's the circle. I'm in there. But then he's in me. You know, and it's like, well, no, he's outside. He's the big circle, and I'm the little circle. But then he's inside of me, and I don't know. I can't do it. That's the mystery. But so also is the mystery of the fact that he's being glorified in me, and I'm being glorified in him. I am being glorified. It's like, that's wrong. Jeff, you've just been talking about he needs to be the one that's glorified. Well, listen, for us to be glorified in him means that the world sees him, not us. We are being glorified in him. We are hidden with God in Christ. Mm-hmm. The world needs to see him. And guess what? I'm in him. He's not just in me, I'm in him. So that the world is glorified in him, and he is glorified in us. So that you be glorified in him. What the believers do in his name, listen, is proclaimed in heaven. What we do is proclaimed in heaven. So that God hears, the angels hear, so that all of heaven knows what we are doing in his name. So when we do things in his name, heaven knows. And not only is the name of Jesus proclaimed in heaven, but if I am truly proclaiming it in his name, then his name is proclaimed on the earth. So there's a proclamation in heaven and on the earth, because it's not just he's glorified in me, and I'm glorified in him. And so that is that name that is proclaimed. And he's the one in all situations that gets glorified. I know that's hard, you know, for us to see, because, well, I'm the one that said it. The preacher's the one that preached it. You know, I'm up here preaching or teaching in his name. But he's the one I want to be glorified. I know sometimes you applaud after my teaching or whatever, or you say thank you, or that's great, that's wonderful. But the greatest thing is that you heard him in my words. That you see him in the scriptures. That the Spirit is not just speaking through me, but he's speaking into you. And so that there is a connection, that it's not Jeff. The things it's not my, wow, you must be a great studier, you must study all the time. Yeah, but that's just so God can pick and choose things that I can put into my lessons, you know, and so that I've got a lot of overall view of things, and God can use that to bring forth the teaching. But it's still got to be what he wants you to hear, not what I want you to hear. And, you know, it's just like the more tools you have, the more things that you can fix. But sometimes, you know, you got one tool, you can use it for a hammer. You can use it to break things. You can use it to fix things. You can use it to hurt yourself. You can use it. Yeah, that's not what that tool is for. Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm using it for. So, and somehow I'm making it work. And I know you shouldn't do that. My mom used to get mad at me if I used utensils in the wrong way. And somehow that got transferred into me because I've told Jan when she was doing something, that's you're using the wrong spoon. You're using the wrong bowl.
Exactly.
I've been forgiven, I think. But I can lead off into that. But the truth is, I want him to be glorified. So that whatever is seen or recognized or proclaimed is all about him. All right. And then he uses two phrases at the end. According to his grace. I mean, it's just over and over in this. Over and over. You know, that he's the one that's doing this. He's the one that is being praised. That the Lord Jesus be glorified in me and I be glorified in him. I mean, he said it over and over so many different ways. And now he throws in the phrase, according to his grace. And grace is what? Undeserved merit, favor from God. His strength made perfect in my weakness. I can't do this. I can't heal anything. Story I shared last week with that little woman that brought the baby. That I didn't know the baby was dead. And if you'd told me before I prayed, I probably would have said, I can't do this. But I prayed for the baby, and then she was the one that proclaimed the baby had been dead and this, you know. So I didn't know what I was doing. Sometimes it's better that you not ask what you're praying for. Because like the disciples, they were fine praying for all kinds of people. And then the man brought his son who was epileptic and was throwing himself into all kinds of seizures, you know, and all of that. And they brought him before them and they couldn't heal him. And the man, you know, he went out saying, you know, I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't. And then Jesus rebuked his disciples. He didn't rebuke the man. He said, you of little faith. He wasn't talking to the man. He was talking to the disciples. How long do I have to put up with you? He'd already sent them out. They'd already gone out and came back with reports of even the dead being raised. So he can raise the dead, but he can't heal an epileptic? Jesus was pretty angry with them because they were overwhelmed. And I know my medical background allows me to see things that some people would just absolutely faint at. And I can walk in a room and keep peace in my mind most of the time. But some things still overwhelming. And I see a need sometimes and I have to pray through my flesh. Jesus can do this. I can't. I am overwhelmed by what I'm looking at, by the report that I have heard. I don't know how. But I'm not doing it. He is. According, the Greek word according, we've talked about this before. I know what you all know what it means, but it means under the influence of, right? You all knew that. So according to means under the influence of his grace. Is that beautiful? Under the influence of his grace. This is all done under the influence. That God is glorified in us and we are glorified in him is all under the influence of his name. That I can walk worthy of his calling. That I can be filled with the pursuit of goodness and works of faith is all under the influence of his name. Of his grace. The outpouring grace. My power made perfect in your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. According to grace. And then he sums it up with the great name. According to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This definite recognition of the individual persons of the Godhead is found throughout all the New Testament letters by Paul, by Peter, by John. You can find verses in Luke where all of them, they put the name of the at least two persons of the Godhead, and sometimes three of the persons of the Godhead, into one sentence or one paragraph. And each one is identified differently. We think of one of the greatest demonstrations of that is at Jesus' baptism. The Father said, "This is my Son," and the Spirit descended upon him. There's people that don't believe in the Trinity. Well, then how do you explain that? The Father said, "This is my Son." Was he talking to himself?
No.
And then himself descended upon himself? Well, that doesn't make sense. But there's a whole thing called oneness, the apostolic teachings, and they're the ones that go with that, that there's only one name. And, you know, but notice that the verse, and you look at the Greek, and it's there, of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't say of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's two. And as I said, sometimes in passages it's three. And this is a definite statement, the fact that there is a Godhead. And sometimes the Father works, right? Sometimes the Son works. Sometimes the Spirit works. Isn't that great? We got all three of the persons of the Godhead working in us and through us. That what? That He is glorified. So this is Paul's prayer. This is his desire for these people, for this church, that God be glorified in them and they in Him. And He in them, sorry. So, Father, we thank You for Your word today. We